Praise God, from whom all blessings flow, and Merry Christmas, Shepherd Church. To those here in the auditorium or outside watching the Jumbotron over at Woodland Hills or Agua Dulce, Merry Christmas. And I just have to say, we cheated at my house. We went ahead and we just couldn't wait for Christmas. It came early. We celebrated it 3 days ago because my son Riley and his wife had our third grandchild, Harper Jean. Harper Jean Walling was born at 6:15 a.m., just a sweet little girl. Of course, you're looking at the 10 pounds and saying, okay, maybe not a little girl. She's a healthy baby. I saw several ladies out there spot that 10 pounds, and when they, you know, we were waiting at the house, and because you can't go to the hospital and all. Riley, thankfully, was be able to be with her there in the labor and delivery, but we were at home waiting for the call. We got the call, oh my goodness. And then, you know, they said 10 pounds, 3 ounces, and Catherine went, oh. And I said, baby, what's wrong? And she said, that's a big baby, honey. And, you know, I'm like, well, I mean, isn't that kind of normal? She said, well, that's large. And she started listing our kids and how big they were. And yeah, 10 pounds, I mean, that's a good-sized baby. But I thought, it's not that big, is it? So I looked it up. Last year, the largest baby born in the United States was born to the Buckley family in New York. 15 pounds and 15 ounces. Yeah, every lady here say, oh, amen, amen, amen. Natural birth, yes, indeed. I know, it is a stunner. But then I looked back, and in 2013, a lady in Nebraska gave birth to a 68-pound baby. Anybody believing that out there? Everybody say, that's impossible. That's exactly right. The largest baby on record is supposedly back in 1897 was 22 pounds. Nobody has ever given birth to a 68-pound baby. That's impossible. And the reason I wanted you to say the word, say it again, that's is because today we're talking about a God who moves from the impossible to the possible. And to understand that, take out your outlines, and I love that it's a wrap. Take out your outlines and pull out that, and write down there, right in number one, some feats are difficult, some may be incredible, but some are just impossible. Now, we misuse this word impossible quite a bit, I'm afraid. We'll talk about, you know, oh man, it was just an impossible golf shot, you know, or it was an impossible comeback, or here's one. If you look up impossible basketball shots, you'll find that 10 years ago this month, there was a game played between the Memphis Grizzlies and the Kings of Sacramento. And with 5 seconds to go to the end of the game, the Kings, California team, were ahead by 1 point. But then, the Grizzlies inbounded the ball, turned, pass, and boom, hit a 2-point shot. They were ahead 1 point. There was 1.5 seconds left. Now, you got the ball down at your end of the court. They pass the ball in to a young man named Tyreke Evans, and he starts galloping. It's too good. You got to see this. It's just this long. Here we go. Here's the game. 5 seconds. Are inbounding the ball. Boom. There they go. They're ahead now. Watch what happens. He passes the ball to Tyreke before half court. Switch. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Can you imagine? Everybody in the crowd was saying, oh, that was exactly. He didn't even get to half court and he threw that ball and swished it. But it wasn't impossible, was it? Because, yeah, let's give it up for Tyreke. He did a good job there. But there have been a lot of half-court shots, quite frankly. They're not impossible. They are rare. They are difficult. They're like having a 15-pound baby. That's tough. But it's not impossible. We even make movie series about it, right? Anybody recognize this movie theme from a series of movies? All right, what's the name of the movie? It's Mission... Yeah, the reason I had to play that theme recording this morning, sitting right there at the drums, was a player named Walter Rodriguez, member of Shepherd Church. He's played here for years. He played the bongos on the theme song for Mission Impossible for the last 6 movies. Yeah, I've been waiting for the chance to say something about the amazing team we have back here. Most churches would say it's impossible to get a team where you've got people that play on movie soundtracks, and we've got people that have played and recorded with Justin Bieber. We've got people back here who have been on recordings you've heard on the radio, and yet on Sunday mornings they come here to play, not for this, but to play for this, because they believe God did something impossible 2,000 years ago. They, like you and I, believe that God took something that everyone would have said was impossible and made it possible. Now, don't hear me saying that everything is possible. The Hebrew writer says God did this so that by 2 unchangeable things in which it is impossible, everybody say impossible, it is impossible for God to lie. We know God's not going to tell us something that's not true. So today, as I read you from the truth of God's word, buckle your seatbelts, because I'm about to read you something that's, well, it's just impossible. Here we go. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. What's that word there? Starts with a V, ends with urgent. Can you say it out loud? A virgin. Everybody track it with me. She never slept with a man. This is a virgin. All right, keep going. A descendant of David, the virgin's name. Luke, are you trying to make a point here? Can you say it with me? The virgin's name was Mary. Now the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." I don't know why all angels have English accents, but have you noticed that, right? I read it that way. It's just natural. You're never going to hear an angel say, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." I mean, it's just, no movie's going to make it with that. Keep reading. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." Read this part out loud with me. "You will conceive and give birth to a," and you are to call him. All right, now hold up a second. This is a virgin. She's not married. The angel says, "You're about to have a baby." And Mary's response appropriately is, "How will this be?" she asked the angel. "Since I am," one more time. Yeah, I mean, Luke is hitting us over the head with this. Folks, she was a virgin. There was no daddy. Everybody understands how, you know, it takes the egg in the spring. You know, everybody's tracking with me on this. If you're not, find a friend in the lobby as you go out, and then with a social distance, they'll explain it to you. But this awkward thing to talk about in church, the virgin birth, is put right here in the middle of all of this. Do you know why we got the trees, the twinkly lights, the presents? Because of the virgin birth. Because of Jesus. Because God gave his only son, his son. Now, this moment, preaching this sermon, and when Pastor Dudley assigned me this one, I thought, well, okay, here we go. Put on my big boy pants, because we got to talk about this. There are people out there who are saying, "Look, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in the virgin birth. I mean, you know, I'm a person who's been to school. I'm educated. Maybe I'm a scientist. I just don't believe in this. I mean, really, a virgin birth? I mean, who believes that?" Now, let me pull over and say, if the virgin birth is going to give you a speed bump, I don't know what you're going to do with the miracles of Jesus. When he raised people from the dead and gave sight to the blind and made the lame walk. And oh, by the way, after he was whipped, beaten, mocked, stripped, and crucified, buried in the ground for 3 days, on the 3rd day he... So let's just back up and say, the virgin birth just isn't that large and impossible when you look at the life of Jesus, but it's put at the beginning of the story. Now today, In our world, if somebody makes an outrageous claim, let's say that I just took a wild hair, and on my Facebook, I posted that thing about the lady in Nebraska 4 years ago had a 88-pound or 68-pound baby. How many seconds do you think it would take if I posted that on Facebook before the comments started coming back? Pastor, you liar. Don't you know liars go to, all this stuff is going to be put in there, and people are immediately going to be saying, that's not true. Well, I looked it up. The largest baby ever was, boom, boom. Somebody makes a crazy claim. Some politician steps up to the podium and says something that ain't true, and there are 13 fact checkers already tweeting out and putting it on the news, and what this person is saying is not true. She's not telling the truth. Not Mary's day. So when somebody says, oh, what a beautiful child. Why, your son looks just like you. And Joseph says, actually, no. I'm married to Mary, but I'm not his father. Oh, I'm sorry to bring it up. No. She was a virgin. Really? Yeah. This is the Holy Spirit. All righty then. Well... And they went and told somebody, and they went and told somebody, and they went and told somebody, and the word began to spread. And what about, I don't know, that's it's impossible. They began to whisper in Hebrew to one another. It just cannot be. And the word kept spreading and spreading and spreading. Then explain this one to me. 2,000 years later, write it down. 2,000 years of questions and challenges and people being skeptical and saying, it can't be so. No way. No how. It's impossible. Look at the trees. Look at the twinkly lights. Look at the presents behind me. When you leave the building, look at the giant tree out there. When you drive my Walmart, look at all the people in there trying to find something and get it wrapped. Look at the people online saying, can it be delivered by Christmas? Can it be delivered by Christmas? Why is the entire world... There are people singing about the Virgin Mary in France and in England. There are people singing about the Virgin Mary in Chile and in China. There are people singing about the Virgin Mary in Moscow and in Memphis. If that's happening 2,000 years later, I think it's worth us stopping and saying, this must be important. And don't let somebody sneak up behind you and say, hey, listen, nobody believes in that anymore. I know. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23 in the Bible says the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. No, nobody really believes that anymore. Well, I beg to differ. In the year 2013, the very reputable Pew Research Center decided they would do a survey across the U.S., asking people, do you believe in the virgin birth, among other questions? More than 75% of Americans, I'm not talking churchgoers, I'm talking Americans, said, yes, I believe in the virgin birth. Now, people said, oh, well, that's probably all the old people that said that. Two-thirds of those under 30 said, yes, I believe in the virgin birth. A majority of the people you walk around, work around, live by, according to the research study, would say, yes, I believe in it. And by the way, 25% of those who said they were atheists said they believed in it. Yeah, I know, that's the one that made me stop and say, whoa, what? People who aren't even religious, who don't even believe in God, say, yeah, I believe Jesus was born of a virgin, because, I mean, look at the way the world for 2,000 years has said this story is the impossible, which God has made possible. That's why 1 John 4:9 says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world, his one and only what? Son into the world, that we might live through him. Folks, I know PhD scientists and professors at Pepperdine University. I know leaders and brilliant minds. I know the guy who helped to put GPS, that is global positioning satellites, helped to invent the atomic clock. He received an award given by the Queen of England. Let me tell you, he will look you in the eye and say, Jesus was born of a virgin and is the Son of God. But folks, none of that matters, because you get to make that decision. If you're watching online, sitting at home, maybe slumped back in the couch with your jammies and your cup of hot chocolate, I wish I was with you, I'll just tell you that. But I mean, just, I just want to ask you, just me and you, just personally here, and a thousand or so others, as we're gathered here together. What do you believe? What do you believe? Because if somebody said, well, you know, it really doesn't matter, that's because they really haven't looked at the virgin birth and what it does. Pastor, what's the big deal about this? I'll give you five big deals, all right? In fact, here, get out your right hand, would you? If you brought it with you, just kind of get it out there. Do this. How many fingers you got? Take your time. That's one of the easy ones this morning. All right, you got five. Here we go. Number one. Let's just write them down. A handful of truths about the virgin birth that will help you maybe even share with somebody this week. The virgin birth starts by setting Mary, a young peasant girl, in the center of the stage. When that angel comes and greets her, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." I read somebody who said, the virgin birth is just this story trying to impress people. Okay. Time out. You need to join me to go back to Jesus' day and understand that the least, most trusted voice in that society would have been a young, unmarried girl. First off, in Hebrew society, a woman couldn't even testify in court. It was a male-dominated culture. Women's voices were just not, well, how shall we say, reliable. You ever heard somebody say, oh, honey, that's an old wives' tale? Why do we call it a wives' tale? How come we don't call it a husband's tale? Because you ladies all know your husband's a whole lot bigger liars than you are. I mean, let's be honest about it. Don't amen that. Don't amen that. But I want you to think about phrases like that. Wives' tale. It's because for years, our culture has not recognized that God made them both male and female, both children of God, both in the image of God. And even today, there are those who are looking forward to Inauguration Day because for the first time, whether you agree with the party affiliation or not, there will be a woman in leadership. That is not where this story comes from. This story comes from a day and age where if you were trying to do a marketing campaign, the last thing you'd want to do to impress somebody is put a woman in the center of the story, a young woman, and then have her say, nope, I've never had sex, but yes, I'm pregnant. Next question. That is not the press meeting that you want to have. In fact, the more we learn about Mary, did you know Mary's name, one of the meanings of Mary's name in Hebrew is bitterness? And you think, why would you call somebody that? She came from a poor family. We know that because when they go to the temple to make a sacrifice for baby Jesus, they make the cheapest sacrifice possible, the one that poor folks would make. The city she's from, Nazareth, the meaning of that town's name is a little branch, like a little branch off, like, you know, alley town. I don't know what town, if you were born at it, you'd be embarrassed. I know somebody born in Weed Patch, California. Yeah, do you know there's a Weed Patch, California? Wouldn't you love that on your high school diploma? Weed Patch High. I guess it's better than Mule Shoe, Texas. I remember as a young pastor being invited to speak in Trona, California. I don't know if any of you know where Trona is. I had somebody text me and say, I know where Trona is. It's in the middle of nowhere. And I had to text him back, nope, you're wrong. Trona's not in the middle of nowhere. You have to go to nowhere and then drive 20 more miles to get to Trona. It is a little tiny spot in the road. And sweet little church there, I remember. But as a young man, I'm thinking, Trona, I never even heard of this. That's what they said when somebody said, did you hear about that girl from up in Nazareth? One of the apostles even quotes and says, how can any good thing come out of Nazareth? It wasn't a town with an important name or reputation. So you got an insignificant village, a girl from a poor family. I mean, if I was going to make a big splash about the birth of Jesus, you'd wanted it to be a queen. You'd wanted it to be an empress. You'd wanted it to be somebody of importance instead of some teenager, probable. We don't have the exact age. But from all the historians tell us, she's probably 14, 15, 16 years old. Saying, Mama, I promise, Joseph and I have not done it. You think, Jeff, that's so awkward to say.
If Luke says it three times, I can say it once, all right? She was a virgin. But that's, say the word, impossible. And God says, watch this. Not only am I going to do the impossible, I'll call the shot 750 years before I make it. Whoa, what? 750 years before Mary became the virgin to give birth to Jesus, Isaiah the prophet wrote these words. Isaiah 7 and 14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call his name Emmanuel. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to drive home? We have a God who turns the impossible to the possible, but he uses ordinary, insignificant folks like us. He uses plain old folks like us. He uses folks like, well, look at the folks sitting on your row. Go ahead, I'm not going anywhere. Just look down the row. I don't expect you spot anybody that you're going, oh my goodness, look who's sitting right over there. It's so-and-so. Living in Malibu every now and then, we'll see a star. And my wife and I were out, it's been a while back, but we were out in a parking lot of one of the shopping centers. And my wife saw Pierce Brosnan. Now, he's one of the James Bonds, you know. I mean, pretty good-looking fella, I guess. And she got whiplash. She was like, shoo, honey, look over there. I said, what? See the guy with the beard? That's Pierce Brosnan. You're kidding me. No way. Wow. I mean, I was pretty impressed. I mean, we backed out the car slow, kind of stalked behind him as he was walking along because it was like, wow, this is special. You need to understand, with all respect to Pierce, that is not who God typically taps on the shoulder when he's going to do something amazing. He taps you, and you, and you, and you, and me. Just a kid from Redlands, California. He taps Mary. You say, yeah, but Mary was amazing. Well, yes and no. What do you mean? Well, how does she respond when the angel shows up? She's afraid. You know what you call that? Normal, right? The angel has to say to her, oh, do not be afraid. It says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel says, don't be afraid. And soon Mary is not only fearful, but she's doubting. How can this be? Because I'm a virgin. Mary is at the center of the story so that you would never imagine God couldn't do something just impossible with you because he does it all the way through Scripture. Number two, mark down the virgin birth of Jesus sets Christ apart from every other baby from first breath to his last. When Luke writes, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus, and he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He'll reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Wow, that's a whole lot of promise to put in a baby. Do you ever ask yourself why this baby? It's a fair question. In fact, next time somebody says, oh, Christmas, I don't even believe in that Jesus stuff. Just say, well, how come you think that baby gets all this attention? There have been, depending on which studies you read, somewhere between 800 million and a billion babies born since Jesus. That's a lot of babies. You know how many babies 800 million is? If you take 800 million babies and lay them end to end, that's a lot of diapers. That's what that is. You see, all those babies, but there's one whose name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he was born of a virgin. God, why are you putting all this focus here? Because from his very first breath, that's a miracle. You can't just say, Jesus was a great teacher. Jesus was a good man. Jesus was an amazing impossibility from the moment he took his first breath. I don't know what it would have been like to be Jesus growing up. We don't have much information about it. What was Jesus like to be in junior high school, right? Because all those old rumors, you know, hassling behind you about, oh, yeah, your dad's not your dad. How many times did they bug him? What would he say when somebody said, hey, close the door, you born in a barn? Well, yes, actually, I was. What, you think you're perfect? Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Who died and made you the boss? I'm getting there. I haven't done it yet, but again. I mean, I have to laugh just a little bit because Jesus walked and sweat and bled, and yet he was a walking impossibility, so that we would never have to wonder why Jesus Christ is the most sung about, written about, sculpted, painted, poetry thought about, studied person in all of humanity. Well, no wonder he starts out with a miracle, being born of a virgin, and he ends, listen, for the word impossible in Acts chapter 2, verse 24, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Impossible from first to last breath. Number three, the virgin birth of Jesus sets the Holy Spirit at the core of the story. Now, this is weird. It's weird because when you think of Jesus, we say, Jesus, Son of God. Exactly. And yet the scripture says, the angels comment, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Okay, time out. Matthew echoes this in chapter 1, verse 18. She was found to be pregnant, not through God. That's not Matthew's language, but through the what? Holy Spirit. I had a guy in a Bible study ask me one time, wait a minute, you always say that he's the Son of God. Why did God have the Holy Spirit, you know, make Mary pregnant? Well, I mean, I tried to explain the Trinity, you know, God and Christ and the Holy Spirit, they're all one. Yeah, but I mean, seriously, why? Why didn't you say, you know, God? And I had to say, I don't know. But I started reading and praying and thinking, and I realized, oh my goodness, God was talking to us by putting the Holy Spirit as the agent. You say, why, Jeff? Start with the book of Genesis. Adam's laying on the ground. He is not alive. And the Bible says that God breathes into him. You know the Hebrew word for breathe is ruach. You know what that's the word for? Spirit. We even talk about being inspired. God breathes into him. It is the Holy Spirit that gives Abraham life, or probably gives Adam life. All through when there are great heroes in the Old Testament, guess what it says about them? And the Spirit of the Lord came on them. Then we get into the New Testament and we find out that on the day of Pentecost, who is it that brings the tongues and brings the fire and brings the power? It is the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit, through miracles with the apostles, proved the word of God. So the Holy Spirit is the agent all the way along of life and power and the giving of impossible to possible. And if you're sitting out there saying, well, it's great that it happened back then, I wish we had that Holy Spirit work today, may I invite you to look right over there at the baptistry. We have had miracle births right there. And you say, why do you call that the Holy Spirit's work? May I read you the words of Peter in the Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the... It is the Holy Spirit that has babies every time we are celebrating a new birth. We even call them baby Christians. Folks, you are part of the virgin birth. In the same way that the Holy Spirit caused life to come from Mary, the Holy Spirit causes life to come in your and my life. And God wanted that to be right in the center every time we sing Silent Night, every time we say Merry Christmas. The virgin birth puts Mary in the center of the stage, sets Jesus apart from all other, and put the Holy Spirit right there at the core of the story. But one more thing, the virgin birth of Jesus sets God above all our challenges and all our assumptions. About the time we say something is impossible. In fact, the background of the story, we started with it this morning. In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, what was Elizabeth's pregnancy got to do with it? Well, Elizabeth, if you remember, wife of Zechariah, a priest, was barren and old. I don't know what age you think of when I say old. Old has gotten older. Have you noticed that? I remember when I was a junior high student, somebody said, oh, he's 30. I went, whoa, he's old, you know? Now it's like, she's 90. Well, that's normal. You know, that's pretty much what we're all gonna be, right? You know, 90. I don't know exactly how old Elizabeth was, but she was old enough that everybody went, oh my goodness. Because when Mary said,
Oh no, how can this be?
The angel says, well, Elizabeth, your relative is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be unable, impossible, to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. You know what Christmas is? It is God saying to us, don't tell me something's impossible. In fact, God would say, please don't tell me it's impossible. I do that six times before breakfast. We have a God who is in the impossible breaking business. She'll never come to Christ. Don't you dare say that. He'll never follow Jesus. Don't you dare say that. There have been too many folks who people said, no way. And God said, back up, please. And the impossible happens in people's lives. Now here's the challenge, folks. What we end up with is an impossible blocker. It is impossibility when I say, you know, we ought to invite so-and-so to tune in with us in the watch party and watch the Christmas Eve program here at Shepherd. Oh, no. Oh, honey. You know, they won't listen. He won't listen. You know, we ought to invite them to church. We ought to talk to them about, oh, no. And the impossible blocker shows up and says, that's just impossible. And God says, excuse me. Next time somebody says impossible, think of the trees and the twinkly lights and the presents and say to yourself, I have a God who moves things from the impossible to the possible. I need to let him decide what is and is not impossible. Now, folks, this is so easy to say standing up here on this stage. I recognize that. But I need you to know that Jesus himself wanted you to hear these words. In Luke 18, 26 and 27, when he says, the people ask, oh my goodness, who can be saved? After some comments Jesus made that were pretty tough, Jesus replied, what is impossible with man is possible with God. That's why the last point I want to make is that the virgin birth of Jesus sets faith in God and his ability at the heart of our hope. If we are unable, if we are unwilling to say, God, this story is ridiculous. Virgin birth, miracle, 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 miracle. Bloody, awful, torturous death, buried in the ground for 3 days. Rose, seen by hundreds, ascended into heaven, coming back soon. How soon? I don't know, soon and very soon. I don't know how long. But don't you dare let somebody say, oh, that's a bunch of hogwash. That story is just impossible. Ladies, what would you have said at 16 years old if an angel showed up at your house and said, I know you're a virgin, but you're going to give birth? I might have said a whole lot of things if I'd have been in that shape. But here's what Mary said. This will break your heart. Here's what Mary said. In fact, may I ask all the ladies in this room, and only the ladies, to read out loud, good and loud, the words of the mother of Jesus. Here we go. I am. And then she said, may your. I want you to hear that 16-year-old, that young girl, as she says, okay. A painter named Henry Tanner painted what I think is one of the sweetest pictures of Mary. It's an imaginative Mary in a very simple room, sitting looking like she's about 14 years old. But he puts in the corner of the picture a water pot. Do you know why? In Mary's day, it is probable in her family home that she would have been the one that did the chores. She would have been like a servant. She would have gone to get water for the family. So right after Mary hears from the angel, you are the one. You are favored of God. And the angel leaves. What does she do? She's not Cinderella. She didn't come out and all of a sudden she's got a ball dress on and everyone is saying, oh, we love you, Mary. And people are rushing to the house. They're lining up like Chick-fil-A, you know, just to get in and say, oh, Mary, we just want to get a picture. We just want to talk to you. Will you sign an autograph for us? No. She got up. She got the water jug. And she kept serving her family. She just kept being a servant. So it's no wonder she says to the angel, to the Lord, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. If Mary was willing to do that so that you could meet Jesus, will you be willing to do that so somebody else could meet Jesus? See, Christmas shouts at us, write this last one down, shouts at us, never tell God that what he wants to do in you is impossible. The only thing that would make it impossible is if we don't believe him. The Hebrew writer says, well, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you ready for your challenge today? I'm going to ask you to be Mary today. You don't have to give birth, good news. But I am going to ask you to walk out of here as the Lord's servant. Her words, I am the Lord's servant. That means whatever need to be done, I need to do it. I think people are going to be a whole lot more ready to hear the gospel from somebody who has served them from somebody who has screamed at them. I think people are going to be a whole lot more willing to hear the gospel from somebody who has brought them food than from somebody who has just brought them a bunch of lip. And let's start in our houses. Go home and be Mary today. Serve. Love. Be it unto me, Lord, as you have said. And then tell somebody, you know why we celebrate Christmas? Because of an impossible birth. Now, if you're here today and you've never given your heart and life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit will be waiting right over there. All you need to do is decide, will you believe? And that is a choice only you can make. Will you stand with me? Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we stand before you ready to speak the words of Mary. Father, some of us to say I am the Lord's servant mean that after this service is over, I need to go back and grab one of those cards out of the pew right in front of me, the chair right in front of me, and take it back to the information table and say, hey, I want to get baptized. I want to learn how to do this. Others of us who've been baptized need to go out and be Mary to share the Christmas story. And Father, I beg you, Lord, break down our pride. Break down any doubt inside of us that keeps us from being willing to say to anyone, anywhere, Jesus is the answer. He started with a miracle. He ended with a miracle. He is the miracle. Thank you for this season. And even as we pray healing physically for our world, for all those suffering with COVID, for all those families who've lost loved ones to that disease. Even as we pray, hasten the vaccine and may it work. Even as we ask great physician, heal our country, our city, our community. Lord, we want to say it in faith because you're the God who takes the impossible and makes it possible. So send us out of here with Mary's words to you. And I'll ask everybody to pray Mary's simple words. I am the Lord's servant. Here we go. Father, hear us. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to us as you have said, O Lord. And in Jesus' name, we all say amen. Merry Christmas. Go love somebody in Jesus' name.